Ruby tore off her gloves and threw them into the biohazardous bin. Removing her mask and safety glasses, she threw them on the examination table in disgust. They bounced off Reuben's very large stomach and fell to the floor. Crossing the room to the phone on the wall, she dialed homicide.
"Commander, Ruby Crutchner here. I've got an unattended death that just changed to a homicide. Can you send your murder cops over?"
She listened for a minute.
"And I was wondering, are O'Rourke and Garcia available? This is pretty high profile. Reuben DiMaggio." "Yes, the Broadway director." "Yeah, thanks."
40 minutes later, Sergeant Jack O'Rourke and Detective Stella Garcia walked into the morgue. An attendant directed them to exam room 4, 4 doors down a sterile hallway that was covered floor to ceiling in pale green tile. The smell took time to get used to, a combination of pine sol, Clorox, formaldehyde, and death. After 7 years as a homicide cop, O'Rourke still tasted it in the back of his throat and doubted that he would ever get used to it. They pushed through the swinging double doors to be greeted by a dead, whale-sized man on a slab with the left side of his face peeled back. The M.E. sat at a desk reading the morning paper.
"Morning, Ruby. What do you got?" O'Rourke asked.
Ruby stood and crossed over to the table.
"I responded to an unattended death last night at 6 p.m. and brought him here to my house and began a routine autopsy this morning. From the neck down, everything was normal. No myocardial infarction, acute coronary syndrome, or coronary thrombosis. Reasonable health for someone this big. So I examined the brain. He got reamed with something very sharp."
"Ouch!" Stella shuddered. "Some perp stabbed him in his brain?" O'Rourke asked.
"Yes. Or our guy here cleaned his ears with an ice pick or other sharp object. I got careless. Double ouch."
"And the crime scene? Compromised, I would guess," O'Rourke said.
"Yes, I'm sorry for that, Jack. I totally missed this one."
"Forget it. If there'd been anything to see, you would have caught it. Where did this happen?"
"Marble Theater over on West 44th, about 5:30 last evening."
"Shit. Please tell me the theater was dark last night."
"No. The last I heard from the sleazebag of a producer, they had their first preview last night. I'm guessing several hundred people streamed in there about 8 o'clock last night."
"That's not good," Stella offered.
"You think?" O'Rourke growled.
"Don't grumble at me, Jack. I didn't do the guy."
"You got names and phone numbers so we can get in there, Ruby?"
"Yeah."
She went back to her desk and picked up a sheet of paper and a photograph. Walking back to the two detectives, she handed them to O'Rourke.
"Here were the names of the producer, the house manager, and some of the cast that were there about the time I was called in. Here's a photo of Reuben DiMaggio when he was alive and breathing."
"Thanks, Ruby."
"Yeah, sorry again for the foul-up."
O'Rourke and Garcia left and returned to their city-owned sedan.
"Best bet would be to call the house manager and see if there's someone who can let us in," Stella said.
"Theater people are still going to be tucked up into their warm little beds this early."
O'Rourke slid into the driver's seat and, starting the car, pulled out of the parking garage attached to the morgue. Stella dialed the first number and waited as it rang and rang. Finally, a very cross, sleepy voice answered.
"Jesus Christ, this better be important. Do you have any idea what time it is?"
Stella identified herself and made it brief, explaining that it was imperative that the house manager meet them at the theater.
"He better get his ass down there to let us in. Call the crime scene folks to come and see if we have anything left to collect. Shit, what a mess."
"Yeah, not to mention poor Reuben.